This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hello and welcome to the Political Predictions for 2026 episode of What Most People Think. And I am back after a long period off there. The last episode was, 17th of December? And because I had a busy year, and I have completely gone into, I've gone into veg mode. You know, like the guy, the dude in the Big Lebowski? I've gone a bit like that, but I've become a bit of a house husband in that period. I enjoyed my time off. On Christmas Day, I cooked the turkey. I was responsible for the meat, and I got my meat out early, and I let it rest. And I only did that so I could make that innuendo right now. And Christmas is all about innuendos, isn't it? There's a lot. It's very camp Christmas, isn't it? There's very camp, you know, all the weirdness, all the sort of sexual inferences about Santa coming down the chimney. Come on. Speaking of innuendo, we went to the Panto Sleeping Beauty at the London Palladium. We took the kids, so me and my sister, my wife and my brother-in-law, we took the 3 kids, and we should have researched that more. We should have researched. Now, if you're listening to this, you'll probably know that Julian Clary is the star of it. He's been doing it 10 years. Catherine Tate was in it. And the whole point of it is, it's not fully adult panto, but it's you know, I mean, I would say double entendre. I would think it was just entendre. It was just, it was pretty direct. I mean, there was one point where Julian Clary, who's very funny, I mean, I would say that he's sort of gone, rather than I'll fit into panto, and this is going to sound like a double entendre, he said, well, panto will fit into him. And there was references to his Norman Lamont fisting gag. At one point, there was a mistake in the wings, and he just looked towards the wings and went, stupid lesbian. I mean, just, you know, so the kids, it was a bit of an experience for them. And of course, as usual on this podcast, my son will be around at the end to chat to you, and he might want to say a few words about his experience of going to that panto as a 9-year-old. He'll also tell you that we got him, well, the big present this year is that we're going to Disney. And he's such a good lad, my son, was that we sort of tried to think how to dress it up and make it special. So my wife made a box, and she put balloons in it, and then there was a bag, and I wrote like a golden ticket saying you're going to Disney. But he's such a good lad that when he opened the box and balloons come out, he's like, balloons, yay. and then there was like a bag. It was, oh, that's a really cool bag. Like, no, look what's in it. And he was pretty psyched, but hopefully he'll tell you all about that at the end of the show. But yeah, we're doing it. We're doing the big Disney. We're going to the one Orlando. So, you know what, I need some patience, and I need to sell some tour tickets, man. For the last piss take prices of the year, I thought, why not make it positive, right? Let's end the year by giving credit to those doing heroic work at keeping prices down. Let's call them discount Daves, all right? The discount Daves out there. And I want to give a big shout out to Greg's. So when I do this Times radio show at London Bridge afterwards, I'm always hungry, right? And at first I was going, there was like a Leon there, you know, the Leon fancy food outfit with your fucking halloumi hot pots and God knows what else. And I was doing those, and they were like sort of £7 for a wrap. And I was like, this is just too much. It's just too much to be spending a month. You know what I mean? Like £30 for just a snack after I finished the Times radio show. So I've switched to the Greggs there. There's always a queue at the Greggs, and there's a reason for that, because £1.50 a sausage roll, hot, nutritious, let's just say hot. It's hot and it has calories in it. And so big Greg's all year round doing great, doing God's work out there. Same for Wetherspoons, absolute discount Dave's out there. Wetherspoons, you can still get pissed for 20 quid at Wetherspoons if you're willing to go for the offer beers. It should be said that some of their draft beers like Stella are up around $3.99, which is a lot cheaper than other places. But if you're willing to just look at, you know, I don't know, fucking Doom IPA or whatever you're into, you can still get hammered. If you're willing to do a bottled beer, personally, I'm not. You know, and you can have a night out at a Spoons for 20 quid, and that deserves credit. Also, my wife and I, we went to a Trance Classics night on the 27th of December, Gatecrasher. And hello to anybody. I was just having such a good time there and being such a tit. So hello to anybody that I met there. Also beforehand, so it's in Colville, right? And the pub next to the venue is called the Engineer's Arms. And I was doing my research on which pubs to go to before. And I just said to my wife, that is going to be fucking interesting, right? So I went in there and it was a Saturday night and they had a disco in there. And there was absolutely no logic to the music policy. It went from Come On Eileen to Hard House to Shania within like by turns, you know, three songs. We were only playing a minute of each. I thought this is just awesome. But best of all, we got around, right? So I ordered a beer and my wife's quite, you know, she's quite particular about what rosé she wants. So it's got to be a pale one, got to be like a Pinot Blush or whatever. So I said to the barman, I said, you know, because these kind of pubs, they don't always have the greatest range. And he said, no, I know exactly what you mean, mate. And he put a wine glass in front of me. And it was like one of those, you know, those kind of egg cups of wine that your mum or your nan used to drink back in the day. You know, when women were, you know, when women were decent before they started drinking the 250 mils and getting crazy. And he put one of those in front of me and it was like bright. It's like blackcurrant. It looked like it tasted like fucking Vimto. So I then said, oh, you know what? I'll get her a Prosecco as well. Because, you know, they're fairly, you know, mostly okay Prosecco. Proseccos are a bit like cheap mince pies, aren't they? They're just sort of always all right. And I got around and he said £9.40. And I thought he hadn't added on the Prosecco. He's like, no, £9.40. £9.40 for a beer, a wine and a Prosecco. Admittedly, you know, the wine, it was literally undrinkable. But having said, so what? Who gives a fuck, right? The Engineer's Arms in Colville, you are also doing God's work and you are one of the discount days of the year. What most people think. New patrons. Remember, if you're a patron, you get the podcast early, ad-free and with bonus content for the main episodes. We've got a few, actually. We've got Stephen Bullivant. I don't know if Stephen is a returner, but Stephen Bullivant. Stephen Bullivant sounds like he writes industrial espionage novels. You know, like he was inspired as a kid by John Grisham. The new Stephen Bullivant. You know, they've never done more than 5,000 copies, which is still decent going, but he, you know, it's more of a side hustle for Stephen. Stephen Bullivant's not even his real name. That was just the name he picked because he thought it sounded like an impressive author. Big shout to Stephen Bullivant or SJ Bullivant. Always makes an author, as we said in the show before, sound more impressive if you get an initial. Stephen J. Bullivant. Sam Harrison. Sam Harrison just sounds like the friendliest guy ever. It'd be awful if you were just like a miserable bastard, just like, you know, like the old guy in Up at the beginning, before the balloons. Sam Harrison, Mr. Friendly. Kit Kirk. Kit Kirk sounds like a 70s porn star, you know? Like, if he had one more inch, he would have been the John Holmes of his day. But Kit Kirk, you know those ones when they used to have a plot and the women wore negligees? Golden era for porn. Niall. Just Niall, so we have to presume if Niall was just giving us one name, that he works in a woke institution. Niall, I think Niall. Where, so it was Niall, kind of an Irish name. I mean, just the Irish government, I think, you know. Just anything to do with the Irish instruments of state is woker than most things. And Tom Lewis. You know what Tom Lewis sounds like? It sounds like one of the, you know, one of those kind of guys that wins a medal at rowing. You know those guys? You know, he's not the main, you know, he's not like the, what's the guy? Redgrave, Pinson, one of those guys. He's the guy that, you know, when they won their final gold medal or their silver medal, he was the cox. Tom Lewis, he was the cox, darling. What a great cox he was. Okay, Domain Talking Point, our super patron, David Domain, that keeps an eye on previous episodes and comes back to us. David was responding to the Christmas episode with Romesh Ranganathan, which got a lot of positive feedback, a lot of people saying that the squint of an eye moment was one of the funniest moments in what most people think history. So do check out that. David says, I hope you're well. We were talking about Paul Heaton. And I was correct in my assumption that he was the lead singer of The Beautiful South and previously The House Martins. That's what I'd forgotten. He now tends to perform under the banner of Paul Heaton and Jackie Abbott, the latter being his late 1990s co-singer in The Beautiful South. Speaking of festive shit, of which I guess we were, a Viz Profanisaurus expression for somebody who is thoroughly dim, thick as a Boxing Day turd. I think we all know what that means. And also we were talking about young people taking the piss out of guys my age having wallets. And David says, there's nothing wrong with wallets. Where else can you keep bank cards, membership cards, driving license and cash compactly in one place? And before the youth says, who carries cash now, bro? People who realise that bank apps and chip and pins don't always work and know it's the quickest way to get a ticket from a pay and display machine. There you go. Wallets. Wallets will have a revival. You know what it's like with the Gen Zs. They revive everything in a while. They'll probably fucking revive piggy banks at some point. Okay, the thank you and the fuck you, the final one for 2025. I just want to thank you all, firstly, for listening, man. This continues to be one of my favourite things that I do. This and stand-up, it's just the freest thing. I sit here, I spout shit, sometimes with my comedy friends, talk about politics, talk about social issues, talk about nonsense. The audience has continued to grow this year, despite it not being an election year. You know, it's held very steady and then was growing again. Towards the end of the year. So I just thank you very much. You know, thank you obviously specifically to the patrons, but more widely, anybody that listens to this, you're doing me a favour. Review it, tell your friends, and I just want to express my gratitude, and I'm looking forward to getting plenty of shows out in the new year. The fuck you goes to Service Station Sandwiches. I've just hit a point. You know when you realise you've been living a lie, like, you just think, oh, I'll get a sandwich on the go. I'll get a sandwich. Right, first up, service station or petrol station sandwiches, now up to £4, £4.50 in some you know, places. And I was just about to leave to go to my sister's yesterday, and I was like, look, we've got meat in the house. I'd let it rest. And I just thought, I'm going to make sandwiches for everybody for the drive. Because I just realised every time you get, like, one of those packaged sandwiches, you know, like, they're just dry as fuck. Dry as fuck. Often just not buttered randomly. I don't know when that stopped being a thing. I just, some sort of penny pincher bean counter somewhere said, we'll just stop putting butter in, or put butter in on one side, or just a smidge of margarine. And then have you ever opened a service station sandwich and just looked in it? Never do that. Never look into the eye of the beast. And I'm done, man. I'm gonna be making my own sandwiches from now on. There is a price to pay for this, is that you then become a guy that makes his own sandwiches. And as I was walking to the car with a foil wrapped batch of sandwiches in my hand, I thought, you sad fucking old prick. But I don't care. Okay, this is the year about value. I'm becoming a discount Dave. All right, we'll get to the predictions in a little while, but first up, it's time to clear up what I predicted for 2025, what I got right and what I got wrong.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Right, so I listened back to last year's predictions episode, and there are a few things where I was wrong, but almost right. I predicted a Reeves session, which was a phrase that didn't really get trending. But yeah, a Rachel Reeves-led recession. It didn't happen at the beginning of the year. Growth was okay in the first half of the year, but then seriously stagnated at the back end of the year. And who knows for the final quarter? I don't think it's good. I think we might have seen contraction across the quarter. Don't want to see that. Not good for the economy, you know. Might mean that we'll have another one of those once in a lifetime, once in a parliament budget, say. I just can't see how it's going to be. You barely bump into anyone that goes, yeah, things are going pretty well. I feel really positive about next year. I also predicted that despite the initial positivity when Rachel Reeves came in as the first female chancellor, that she would have a tough year. And I made, I think, probably too bold a prediction that she would be quit or fired. But wasn't that far off, was I? I mean, she had a torrid old year. She was crying in the House of Commons, which we were told initially it was put out there to kind of put out that fire that it was personal problems. And it turned out that it was a personal problem. That was, she was personally being shit. And but the bond markets rescued her because they realised that all of the alternatives would be way more left-wing than her, right? The bond markets realised that if they got in, you know, they got in an Angela Rayner type figure instead, you know, Angela Rayner would just go, they're laughing at you, mate. Fucking laughing at you. Bond market's fucking laughing at you, mate. Fucking. Do you remember that? She used to say that about the Tories. They're laughing at you. She also, and Rachel Reeves, had issues with the OBR around the budget because of that famous shit in your cornflake speech where she got up and told everybody that she was probably going to have to raise income tax because she didn't have any fiscal headroom. But it turned out she did have fiscal headroom. It's just, you know, not fiscal headroom to not raise taxes because, you know, they were going to reduce the two-child cap to appease their backbenchers who were going to fire. Yeah, it all got a bit fucking complicated. But they sort of pissed on the press's shoulders and told them it was raining. I think that that is going to impact the coverage of this, not just the Labour Party, but specifically Starmer and Reeves going forward. I did also say somewhat flippantly that they would raise taxes on nice cars. Sort of said it as a throwaway joke, but they did, of course, raise tax on electric cars. And then there was a long-running prediction that I had for Jeremy Corbyn, that there would be a Jeremy Corbyn party. And there kind of is now, isn't there, with your party. But, well, they're just immediately stopped. Well, the two main figures, Corbyn and Zara Sultana, started suing each other straight away and kind of proving everything you ever thought about the hard left. I mean, even at their weird conference that kind of launched 1,000 memes and viral clips, even there, just it felt like what they really wanted to get up and say is that leadership, because I don't think they have a single leader now, because probably leadership is itself a consequence of fucking white privilege and you know, the empire. So that kind of came true. That was a long-range prediction. And I think ultimately Corbyn will be the principal figure in that party. But certainly they are busy devouring themselves, as the left like to do sometimes.
What most people think.
Another long-range prediction was that Starmer wouldn't be prime minister beyond 2 years. And I made that prediction. I think you can fact-check it by going back, I think, from 2023 onwards, when it became clear that Labour were going to win. I just felt that ultimately he wouldn't be left-wing enough for the party. And it's kind of been proved by the back end of this year where he's had to move to more left-wing positions to stop him being overthrown. You know, he suddenly pivoted toward, what was he saying after the budget? My main mission is to eradicate child poverty. And you go, no, that wasn't, it's a noble mission, but that wasn't your main, it was loads of other stuff, wasn't it? It was about having a politics that treads more lightly on your lives. And it's felt more like, you know, those businessmen that just go and get like a dominatrix to tread on their bollocks. It's felt a little bit more like it's felt a little bit more like that. So in the next section, predictions for next year, I'm going to tell you whether or not I think Starmer will go this year and exactly which month I think it's going to happen in. If you come into my tour shows next year, you need to get a move on because there's actually been quite a lot of tickets sold over the festive period. Cambridge nearly sold out. Salisbury Arts Centre nearly sold out. Bournemouth, okay, you need to get your skates on there. Lincoln, Stockton, Spalding, Loughborough. Lincoln's sounds like one of those kids sort of rhymes that you to use to remember something. Ipswich, Nottingham, Derby. Nottingham's nearly sold out. Salford very nearly sold out. Wellingborough, Bedford, Cheltenham. High Wycombe has moved a lot. And the second day of Maidenhead's nearly done. Leamington Spa, Carlisle. Do not let me down, Carlisle. A Wednesday in Carlisle. If that doesn't sell out, I'm going to be gutted. Southport and Crewe going back to Crewe. Had fun there. Shrewsbury, the big room in Shrewsbury. A bunch of new dates. Redruth we added. Chorley is nearly sold out. Folkestone was added as a new date. Peterborough, apologies to people, this is not my fault that it's moved once because of the theatre venue were having some building works and it's had to change from the Key Theatre to the New Theatre, but it's still on the same date on the 22nd of March in Belfast. Solihull and Coventry have been added. Portsmouth has been added. Winchester, Ilkley and Lancaster. Another date in Newcastle. One of the Norwich dates has already sold out. The extra date is now getting close to being sold out. And then we've got Brighton on Monday, the 4th of May, and finally finishing with an afternoon show at Leicester Square Theatre on Saturday, the 9th of May. That is going to be a beautiful show. An afternoon thing where I can just finish. I think we'll be done by like 6 p.m. and I want to be on the piss. So head over to Jesus Christ. I think Julian Clary is I think he's infected me, darling. Get yourself over to Live Nation and get tickets for all the Basic Bloke 2 tour show. 40 dates next year coming. See, once you've seen Julian Clary in panto, it infects your mind forever. I don't know if I'll ever get over it. Well, you might get under it, dear. Okay, predictions now for 2026. And if you look at the odds, right, the bookies, whose job it is to not lose money on these things. If you look at the odds on Keir Starmer being replaced in 2026, they are currently, and broadly they're the same on each site, 5-4 on. More likely than not. Now, some of that might be due to just sheer volume of bets being placed. Some people, just people looking at Keir Starmer and going, yeah, I don't. Or just hearing his voice. We're going to be launching phase 3. Okay, yeah, I'm going to bet on him to be fired. And it is quite a shout, you know, for a guy who skated in on a 170-seat majority. Just skated on it there. Massive majority. Massive. But the ice that he skated in on was, of course, very thin. And it was interesting because I was listening back to last year's prediction episodes and I sort of forgot how bad their first 6 months were, weren't they? Came in, there was freebie gate, there was the power struggle between Morgan McSweeney, where, and Sue Gray. She got ejaculated. That was also a pun that Julian Clary did. And there was also the winter fuel, of course. They stuck with that for too long. So the first 6 months weren't good. And then it just carried on, didn't it? At pace. It's like they've been bazballing, to use a cricket analogy, with ministerial resignations, homelessness minister sacked for making her tenants technically homeless. You know, Mandelson, Rayner for tax avoidance. They've just been going. They've just kept going. Fair play to them. They've kept the tempo up. And even this week with the Prime Minister welcoming that guy whose name I can't pronounce from Egypt, who turned out and said things that were anti-white, anti-Semitic, homophobic. And, you know, there was a lot of Tory battery where people, you know, days are going to be a thing, I think, for 26, where just saying, but what about the Tories? I think it's really going to run out of road. I think people are bored, getting to be bored of hearing that. Whether it's relevant or not, we live in a more short-term news cycle. And yes, the Tories might have made a case for this guy's release. But the point is that Keir Starmer is Prime Minister at the point this guy has been released. And there is, you know, it feels bizarre to have to say it. There is a premium on being the Prime Minister when things actually happen. Right? And suddenly, you know, they briefed out, didn't they, that he was the Prime Minister was unaware of these social media posts. Unaware. So he didn't say it personally because I think he's lying. An old slippery doesn't want to actually go on record as lying. So he's just sort of put it out there. The Prime Minister was unaware of these social posts. So there are rumours that the Egyptian government had made the British officials aware. But anyway. But it's quite funny how he's transitioned, isn't he, very quickly. He was like a Mr. Man. Who was Mr. Forensic, wasn't he? In the Mr. Man. Oh, look, everybody. It's Mr. Forensic. I am Mr. Forensic. I am across the detail. I know what's going on. And then very quickly, he's become Mr. Unaware of the Details. I didn't know that she'd been done for fraud. I didn't know that Peter Mandelson had been such good friends with the fucking nods. Ian, I think he's going to go because he's not liked by the party and he's not liked by the public. And you know, the whole thing with the Egyptian dissident, what is his fucking name? Ala Abdel Fattah, right? I mean, he really... I mean, it's funny, is it? Because they are old tweets, aren't they? But also, they are so, like, fucking... They're so racist. So, like, we actually, yeah, we... He's, like, so direct about it. Yeah, we specifically need to kill these people. We need to kill some Jews. We need to kill some white people. You know, like... I mean, it's like, it's not... You can't just say, oh, it's a different time. You go, what? The early 2010s? I think that stuff was pretty bad then, personally. But if the Prime Minister was unaware... of these details, why? Why is he Mr. Details, not across the detail? And if he's got people around him whose job it is to appraise him of the details, why are they not doing it? So he's either shit personally or he's employing shit personnel. Either way, it's on him. And the Labour Party, though, are notoriously shit at getting rid of people or doing what is called regicide. There's a great line from a Labour MP, is the problem is if you say to a Labour politician, we should do some regicide, they say, who's Reg? And that's the problem. They just haven't done it in the past. If you think even when Corbyn was at his shittest, there was that Welsh geezer who went up against him. There's a pub trivia question. Who's the Welsh guy that somehow lost a leadership election to Jeremy Corbyn? But the focal point of this year is going to be in May at the local elections, right? It looks like they're going to lose Wales. Looks like they're going to lose loads of seats in England. And also looks like they're going to lose, not win Scotland, which seems incredible, doesn't it? Given how things look for the SNP after Nicola and after Hamza. Right? Oh, I miss Hamza. Do you remember that classic moment? It's worth reminding ourselves of it when Hamza stood with all those Ukrainian women and said, oh, Ukrainian women, where are all the men? They are fighting in the war. Yeah, that's right, of course. Hapless Hamza. But still... It's a bit like, I think the SNP being in power in Hollywood are a little bit like the Aussies winning the Ashes in Australia. They are clearly underperforming. They're not as good as they were. And yet somehow the opposition find a way of fucking it up. So they're going to lose there. And I don't think that the regicide will happen immediately afterwards, right? Because even with the Tories, it doesn't happen as quickly as you think sometimes. People instinctively think that Boris lost his job because of Partygate. But that all kind of played out from December of 2021 right round to the summer of 2022. And the thing that actually did for him was the Chris Pincher affair. There was that famous, you know, when he said he wasn't told about certain allegations and he was. He'd lied again, Boris. And there was that famous photo of the cabinet just all looking at Boris going, this is never going to stop, is it? It's just, no, this guy's never going to stop lying. And I think it will take something like that for Starmer. The May election results will be terrible. And then I think it will take something else off the back of that. And who knows, you know, the way that politics work. It's a bit like, you know, when TV companies need to get rid of a well-paid old guy, right? And then they'll suddenly remember something dodgy they did or said just at the point where they needed to give them a new contract. I think that Keir Starmer, something will come out. You know, there'll just be some recording. There's in politics, there are always people who know where the bodies are buried. And there'll be something that comes out. You know, like Beergate in Durham, where he said he was just having a beer. It was. I mean, the more I think back about that, what the fuck, man? He clearly was having a beer. You could say, oh, we were having a meeting that went long and we had a curry to eat. But the moment you've got a beer in your hand, it's something different, isn't it? Anyway, all right. But what might come out is like there'll be an audio recording of somebody with Keir singing, I don't know, maybe him, like the most obvious thing that he could be singing to suggest that he was in party mode. It would be Come On Eileen, wouldn't it? Come on Eileen, oh, come on Eileen, I do right. So I think he'll go in July, I reckon. I reckon it'll take 2 months for them to get their ducks in a row. I think he'll go in July. He might even just go, right, fuck it. No one likes me. I'm done, all right? I'm fucking done. I did my best, you know? It turns out that there's no amount of charisma that could win the day. And he'll go then, and maybe the economy might have picked up a little bit by then, but when narratives are set, they're set. And there was some Labour leading figure that said, you know, come the spring, you'll start to feel the change in your pocket, which is an unfortunate way of phrasing it, because you could say that change is all you'll be feeling. But it's hard, you know, if you talk about the economy picking up, it's hard to see where that's going to come from. You know, wage growth has slowed. Inflation has slowed a bit as well, but everything's all still more expensive than it was, right? Maybe, you know, the mortgage stuff might help. The real issue, though, is going to be unemployment, right? It's going to keep going up, particularly youth and graduate unemployment. You know, people increasingly thinking, you know, in a very basic way, we need to save money. We've let Linda go. Is there anything that Linda did that AI could do? Okay, all right, Linda did make good tea. Could AI make good tea, or could it know when we all want? Because Linda was very good at sensing when the office needed a tea. She'd come around and she'd go, tea, is there a way that AI could do the tea? And, you know, I think I've said this before. I think AI is going to be an issue at the next election. I do, because it's just going to cause losses in jobs. And the guys that invent AI, this fucking bullshit, they come out of going, you know, with AI, what's going to happen is that everybody's going to be doing more technical, high-skilled jobs. Shut up, mate. Shut up. If that's what you need to tell yourself to get to sleep at night, fine. But it's bollocks. It's absolute bollocks. That's what I'd say. That's what I'd say. If I've invented AI, I go, this thing that can do everybody's jobs is not going to take any jobs. Oh, really? How's that going to work out? It's just not. No, what you want is to have enough money in the bank that when we all descend into like fucking civil war, you'll be living in a castle on a very high hill on a stack of AK-47s, right? And then, you know, there'll be more job losses. And then, of course, it'll get round to the budget, which will be pushed back even later in the year. They'll probably do a New Year's Eve budget next year. You know, literally, as the bongs go for midnight, Rachel Reeves will once again speedbag me in the nuts. And they'll get a more left-leaning leader. Eventually, there'll be a more left-leaning chancellor. And then they'll tax even more stuff. They'll even go for anyone with a fucking hobby. That'll be what Angela Rayner would do. If she got in power, anyone with a hobby has clearly got disposable income. So we're taxing anyone that plays golf. All right, let's talk Tory. Talk Tory to me, baby. So it has been a partial recovery over the second half of the year. Probably felt more by enthusiasts that watch politics more closely. But, you know, there are some signs that her personal approval rating is ticking up. On a basic level, a lot more people know who Kemi Badenoch is. What she does have that Farage doesn't have is she has an opportunity most weeks to articulate the anger. So there is anger there. You know, you look at Starmer's disapproval and the general feeling about the government. Is there's anger. And the public, at that point, they want somebody to say how I feel, say it to his face. And that's what you get at PMQs. And I think that she's improved a lot of that. And I think it's just keep doing what you're doing, you know, even if it's largely the same each week. You know, just say it in a way that's withering. Kemi Badenoch, you know, she's got some mannerisms I think the public like, where she just doesn't... Everything that she does that suggests that she doesn't tolerate bullshit or flim-flam, that is a real strong suit for her. However, she does have the bump in the road coming up, which is local elections, right? So those are off a very high base when they last happened in those areas in 2021. Remember those when Starmer lost the by-election in Hartlepool to the Tories? And he said his biographer, is that guy Tom Baldwin? Fucking hell. I wish anybody believed in me like Tom Baldwin believes in Keir Starmer. Jesus Christ. But he said that was when Starmer thought he thought about, you know, quitting. I wish he fucking had. I don't think I'm the right man for the job. Bingo. Yeah, correct. I can see some support peeling back from other parties to the Tories. I think the Liberal Tories, there were a lot that had enough of the Brexit years when the Tories leaned, you know, arguably too far into the culture wars. Some of those might peel back a bit to Labour, you know, from Labour, but also from the Lib Dems, because they might just simply come down on the side of who will realistically reduce the size of the welfare bill, the size of the state, and the size of my tax bill, right? And realistically, you know, with some of Reform's pledges and what they'll need to do to win in the Red Wall, it's hard to see it being them. It's hard to see it being the Lib Dems, the Greek, right? So the Tories will be the only low-tax party in town, and they've got to lean into it. And I do think, looking back, that Labour made a mistake with the two-child cap thing. You know, I was never sure that it should have been two-child cap, but surely the obvious thing was to do was a compromise, right? To go, look, to our backbenchers who want to remove it completely, that's not realistic economically. You know, we need to try and get people to think about the cost of having children, how you budget for that. But we're going to make it a three-child cap, right? But no, as many children as you want. Oh, the cap's gone. Okay, we've thrown the cap into the fucking crowd. And then what will happen is it will just swing back the other way, you know? Like, you remember you used to get in the tabloids back in the day? You know, they would. I don't know how the tabloids made it happen, but they would always have some woman just sitting in the front room of her council flat, and she'd have like 48 kids in front of her, and it would be like, this woman is on 100 grand a year and she has a Ferrari. So I think, you know, this year there is a clear space in the political spectrum in which the Tories can operate. Okay, we'll do some predictions for the smaller parties now. And I know people get annoyed, but Reform are still currently on, what, 5 MPs, 6 MPs? And, you know, they're set to do well. But we'll start with them, okay, Reformers? We'll start with you guys. I think it's going to be an interesting year of consolidation, right? A consolidation for Reform. If you think about it, it's kind of like getting on for halfway through the season. Maybe it's only a third through this parliament, but we'll be in election cycle a year before the next election. So this feels like the club that are top of the league going into Christmas. There's going to be a lot of games over that Christmas period. You know, you got your Boxing Day game, your New Year. There's a lot of games happening there. A lot could go wrong. You know, they've got to go. They've got to go to the main locals. They've got to get something. You know, they could win in Scotland. And they have to avoid scandals, but I genuinely don't know what scandal could touch the sides at this point, because their supporters are so invested in the Reform kind of concept. And the point is not even Reform necessarily, is they're so opposed to the Uniparty, right, of Labour and the Tories, that if you're right of centre or socially conservative, there's only one game in town for you. It has to be Reform, right? There's no realistic alternative. So they almost can't afford to acknowledge, you know, the big scandals like the leader in Wales that had taken bribes from Russia. You know, there's quite serious things. And I think most of that will pass under the radar for their supporters. Ironically, what might hurt Farage, because I think, you know, this podcast is called What Most People Think. I think in the right-wing echo chambers these days, you know, the way Donald Trump is perceived is not how the British public perceive Donald Trump. The Donald is largely unpopular, even with Reform voters, all right? So seeming too close to Trump, or maybe seeming a bit of apologist, or maybe not as far as an apologist, but not going in hard enough on Vladimir Putin could be a weak point. And I also think Farage's, I understand that there's this narrative on the right, you know, say Britain is broken. It's a shithole. It's broken. I went to get a pint of milk the other day and it was broken. Everything was broken. The glasses on the floor. The windows were broken. My leg was broken. I don't know. I think there's a limit with that narrative. One, because it is now kind of overpriced. You know, there's a lot of talk about London has loads of problems, right? The lawlessness in London, like the problem with London is a lot of stuff's in your face, right? Is the shoplifting and the fare dodging and all that sort of stuff. But it's also, if you go to London regularly as I do, it doesn't exactly square up with the reality. So I think Reform will have to find a positive message about Britain in some ways, you know, not just articulate. Elections are won on hope. Right? Elections are one on one. If you think about Get Brexit Done, MAGA, even MAGA, Make America Great Again, right? There has to be a bit of hope in there. So at some point, Farage and Reform have got to find a way of talking about how they're going to make Britain better rather than just telling you what's wrong with it. But, you know, I see them having another very strong year. It might be hard for them to to increase the polling that they've had, but certainly I think that they'll largely kind of sustain it. But also they've got to kind of introduce new personnel, because everyone knows that Richard Tice, Zia Youssef and Farage are good communicators, right? But there needs to be other personnel. If you're looking to form the government, and there needs to be more policy, right? Realistic policy. So policy and personnel is going to be order of the day for them. The Lib Dems, I mean, just these guys, eh? And they need something beyond being the party that doesn't like Farage and Trump, you know? It's the same as the Reform, just talk about broken, everything broken, broken, broken. Ed Davey cannot just go around saying, well, you know what I don't like? Farage, yeah? And you know what else? Putin. I don't like Putin either. You know what else I don't like? Brexit. You got to find, what do you like? What are you in favour of, right? Forget the fact that, you know, you do operate well at a local level. What's your national policy platform? Or is it, or are you just like a little sort of, Lib Dems get really pissed off about this, sort of political parasite that only really exists if it can jump on something else and kind of like siphon off a bit of that. The problem Ed Davey has is if as a party they're serious about one day being in power, they might have to look at the limits of Ed Davey, because the whole diving off of stuff and, you know, being the kind of goofy fucking granddad thing at the last election, that is a one, you can't play that trick more than once. Because John Major, people forget that in 1992, he did his soapbox thing, didn't he? It was very, just the grey man going around, getting on his soapbox, talking to the people. He did try that shit in 1997. And everyone was like, it's over, John. It's over. Put your fucking soapbox away, mate. No one's buying it. I think it'll be the same with Ed Davey if he tries to do the wacky Ed Davey thing again. And I think that you know, for the hard left, I think that Zach Polanski is going to continue to make headway. I do think, again, you know, talk about something that's overpriced is what a great communicator Zach Polanski is. I'm not sure about that personally. I think there's such a poverty of expectation that he's not bad, but also all he's doing is articulating quite solidly left-wing economic principles, right? And because Labour abandoned them and there was that Jeremy Corbyn cohort, there's just a ready audience for that. There's a ready audience of people that think anyone that owns a flat is evil landlord. Anyone with wealth shouldn't have it, you know? And, you know, we need to be in the EU. We need to get rid of our nuclear weapons. You know, just so I don't know if he's as solid a performer as people say, but, you know, Zach Polanski, I do think that here's a prediction for next year is that Zach Polanski is just going to say or do something really fucking stupid. He'll just be covertly recorded some meetings saying like, kind of like whiteness is a disease or something, you know, something like that. Wealth is murder. That's what they say. It'd be at some meeting that he considers wealth to be a form of murder. And you know what? Probably the hard left will fucking lap it up. Okay, that is pretty much the end of the New Year political predictions for 2026. But as is tradition now on What Most People Think, my son is here to say a quick hello.
Hi there.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, I've had an amazing Christmas.
So what was the most exciting present?
Knowing that I'm going to go to Walt Disneyland.
Yeah. I am sort of excited too about, the Rise of the Resistance ride?
Yeah, in the area Galaxy's Edge.
Who do you think is going to be more excited?
I don't know.
Maybe me. Maybe.
If you're lucky.
If I'm lucky. I want to talk about the pantomime that we went to.
Oh, what the
So at the London Palladium.
That was a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot. But did you learn any new words?
I'm going to be honest. No, mostly because I forgot them. But there were some...
Did you block them out?
Yeah, but there were some, like, adult jokes in there. Yeah. Maybe they should advertise the next year as an adult pantomime or the Julian Eclairy show because he was in it a lot.
He was in it a lot. He was funny, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was funny.
Yeah, but they
were... for the adults, but he was funny too.
But yeah, there wasn't swearing, but there was like ideas and...
There was one point where there was a woman who would say like F and then they would just go beep.
Yeah, that was... We maybe should have done a little bit more research.
Yes, we really should have.
And by we mean me.
Yes.
I want to ask you, next year, you were quite optimistic. I listened back to last year's episodes and you said that it would be a really good year for the 2000s. So you kind of said it'd be a good year, but qualified in the context of this millennia. What do you think about 2026? Is it going to be a good year?
Yeah, I mean, definitely for films, but...
Which film are you looking forward to?
I'm just looking forward to Star Wars in general because they're doing like a lot of releases in and around from like Mandalorian and Grogu. They're doing a lot.
The Mandalorian and Grogu film. First Star Wars film since 2019.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That'll be fun.
I've been 3 years old when that one was released.
Yes. Yeah, that'll be the first one that you're going to the cinema, a new one that you can remember.
Yeah. Technically, that's not true because we have to be into...
The re-releases. Yeah. I mean, so, I've basically indoctrinated you, haven't I?
Yeah.
Into Star Wars.
Yeah, but I actually like it, so I'm not sure if you can actually say that.
Yeah, not a willing indoctrination.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. And just finally, have you got a message for the listeners here as we get towards New Year's Eve?
Of course I am. Why would I be here if I didn't?
That's a very good point.
Anyways, I wish you a very nice new year. Well, a happy new year. And I hope one thing that you want comes true. Happy new year.
Happy new year. Thank you very much for listening this year. We'll be back with a main episode on the 5th of January. Don't.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.